the for the next four or so weeks, something I've called the mind of man. Your mind. Again, the mind of man. And I'll say your mind. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I ask that even as we look at the mind of man and our mind, that you give us understanding concerning this particular issue, the importance of the mind, how the mind works, why our minds are so important in the scheme of things. Father, I ask that you give us understanding concerning this matter. In Jesus' name. All right, so the mind of man. One might ask, hang on, you know, why are we looking at the mind? Isn't that a topic for like psychology? Isn't that a topic for, you know, people who are looking at things that are not necessarily related to the scriptures? However, I found that one of the most important things within the life of anybody and in the context of the scripture, in the context of your life, in the context of where you're going to end up or where anybody is going to end up, the mind plays a major part in it. So you can be really spiritual, you can be so gifted in God, you know, but if such a person doesn't understand the concept of the mind and how the role it plays in you as a person, it can, you might not, you know, you might not be able to get to where God wants you to get to, or you might just be flipping up and down. And there's certain things that might be happening in your life, and you'd be like, hang on, why is this happening to me? Why am I thinking these thoughts? Why is this, you know? So it's quite important that we understand the mind in the context of our faith. So today I'm going to be looking at three areas. I'm going to look at what is the mind. Again, I lifted this up as a dictionary definition from the famous dictionaryonline.com. Now, we'll look at why is the mind so important. That's the second thing we'll look at. We'll look at the language of the mind. Then lastly, we'll look at spiritual warfare in the mind. Again, we'll look at what is the mind. I'll just give us a quick definition. We'll look at why is the mind so important. We'll look at the language of the mind. And lastly, spiritual warfare. So that's what we'll look at today, if time permits. Now, what is the mind? Like I said, I looked at I got this definition off from an online dictionary. It says, there are two here. It says, the mind is a set of cognitive faculties, including consciousness, perception, thinking, judgment, and memory. I'll read that first definition again. It says, the mind is a set of cognitive faculties, including consciousness, perception, thinking, judgment, and memory. The second one is a slightly simpler definition, and it goes so. It is usually defined as the faculty of an entity's reasoning and thoughts. Reasoning and thoughts. So there's some key words there that I just want to highlight. In the first one, it says perception, thinking, judgment, memory. In the second one, it's the words I'll highlight there are reasoning and thoughts. So that's what the mind is. So what this is saying is that our minds are the basis of all those things. Our memory, our thinking. You know, where we come to decisions, you know, we process thoughts in our mind. So if you want to make a decision, you would often play the scenarios in your mind. Say, if I want to get to this place, if I catch this bus and I wait here, you're processing all those things in your mind. Or someone comes to you and they ask you a question and you're processing, how should I respond? You know, all these things, your mind is the area of all these things happening, where your thoughts and your thinking goes on. So that's looking at it from just a regular perspective. Now, number two, why is the mind so important? Why is the mind so important, the mind of man? The first thing I want to say is this. Your mind or your the way you think about yourself would define your identity and your perspective. So much that it can actually override what God thinks about you. So your mind defines, or your mind is a starting place where your identity and your perception of yourself is defined. Let's look at the book of Judges chapter 6, verse 11 to 14. So whatever it is, wherever you are now, whatever opinion you have about yourself, it's not really what people think about you. You know, some people might say, oh, that person doesn't like me, so, you know, that person, you know, feels a certain way about me and that's how I am. I don't think I can succeed. I don't think, you know, under these circumstances, I can make it in life or I can be a good Christian. All those things are not a result of what people have told you per se. It's not even a result of what your environment has told you or what where you are located. It's based on the conclusions that you have come to by yourself. Obviously, all those things help to form your opinion. You know, if you are in a situation that is quite negative, it will try and make you form an opinion. So what I'm saying is that it's not necessarily the things that surround you or the circumstances that you're in that will define who you are. No, it is your processing of those things and by yourself coming to a logical conclusion. Maybe whether you realize it or not, it is that logical conclusion you come to by yourself based on whatever pressures are around you that defines your perspective about yourself. Why? Because you might have two people in the same exact scenario and they have different opinions about themselves. I might say, so let's read this Judges chapter 6 verse 11 to 14. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, this is to Gideon, and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now God has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours. You shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So we see a scenario here of a man who has a certain opinion about himself, and rightly so. He said, and God appeared to this man and said, "Mighty man of valor." That was the first greeting that he gave this man. And he poured out his heart. He wasn't pretentious. He didn't try and fake it and be motivational and say, "Oh, all right, I'm blessed." He said, "Look, if this thing you're saying about me is true, Lord, how come I'm impoverished? How come I'm running scared? How come all these things have battered my life so much that..." Then he goes further. He says, "The miracles that we've heard about, how come it's not happening to us now? You've said this thing in the Bible. I've read my Bible. I've done this and all that. It's still not happening in my life. So I'm finished. I'm no good. I can't make it. Everything that God has spoken to me, you know, that this pastor, I've been going to church and pastor has been saying all those things, they are not true." Do you know what the response the Lord told him? He let him say all those things that he wanted to say. And he said in verse 14, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours.'" Do you understand? So we begin to see a man here that circumstances had dealt several hard blows to. Circumstances had battered him to a point where he himself came to the conclusion that, "Look, there's no point. Let me just carry on this low profile till I die. Nothing exciting can happen in my life again." It was his mind. God now had to work on his perception about himself. We're not going to read that. If you read on Judges, God had to begin a process of convincing him, helping him to change his mind about himself. Because God knew that, look, if this guy is like this, he's not going to do anything I tell him to do because of the opinion that he has about himself. Do you understand? So we begin to see what your mind does. God had to spend several chapters trying to change this man's mind before he could have a proper perception. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that your mind is important. Now, if you look around your community, right, you will see people who have lost hope. You see people who have nothing exciting to look forward to. Situations have battered the life out of them. Do you understand? Situations have battered the life of them to the point that they have come to the logical, I use that word, logical conclusion that, look, let me just give in. I can't really do anything of significance in my life or in anybody's life. They are the ones that come to the conclusion. That's what any, now you might say, pastor, you know, that maybe this, you know, yes, I understand all that. But whatever it is, whatever attitude we have or whatever perception we have about ourselves, we are the ones that have come to that conclusion. We're the ones. So we begin to see that your mind must come to that conclusion. Whether you realize it or not, everybody that we see, their mind has brought them to where they are, the conclusions they have about themselves. Why is the mind important? That's it. Number one. Number two, why is the mind so important as well? It is the place where we, again, make decisions that can be life-changing. Let's look at the book of Luke chapter 15 and verse 14 to 18. Your mind, your thinking and your mind is the place where at any point in time you can make life-changing decisions, irrespective of your circumstances. Life-changing situations or decisions. That's the second thing. Luke chapter 15 verse 14 to 18. This is talking about the story of the prodigal son. And 14 says, when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. He would have gladly had his fill. I'm reading King James. Let me just read the one on the board. It says, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs? He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? But I am here starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against you. No, against heaven and against you. So we begin to see that number two, the mind is where you can make decisions that will be life-changing. Now, those decisions, right, might not be inspired by circumstances around you. This man knew that, look, I've come to the end of myself. He could have said, well, let me just carry on. My father will not accept me anymore. Let me just, you know, carry on. No, but he changed his mind. There was something that happened to him and he reasoned along a particular way that brought him to a change. So we see that the first thing is that your mind forms the basis of who you are, your perception, your worldview. We also see that it's a place where you can make decisions that will be life-altering. Number three, why is the mind so important? The mind, your mind and my mind is where the battle for your life, the battle for every man's soul begins. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So we see here the classic example that the life of every man, whether that man is going to be saved or he's going to accept God or he's going to have a worldview that will begins, let me not say begins, that battle is in that, it starts here. Satan understands this. He understands, like, look, if I don't do something to the minds of these people, they will see the light of the gospel. If I don't thrash their minds with emotional baggage, if I don't frustrate them and make them think about things that are going to, you know, they will see the light of the gospel. So this tells us here, it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Why? so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. So we begin to see that someone can be healed, go to a crusade, he's not a Christian, maybe he's even an idol worshiper. God loves everybody. God heals that person. But their mind is still clogged up and they don't believe. So they can believe, they can be healed and still go to hell. You know. So God doesn't heal just Christians. He heals everybody. Do you understand? So their minds might still be clogged up. But they know that they believe that God is the God will heal them anyway because they've seen the power of God. And they'll still... So what are we saying here? It doesn't start with the miraculous signs and wonders. That draws attention. That's great. But it's the mind of man that the actual battle for the soul of man begins. I remember a long time ago, this was 1996 when I became born again. I mean, I'd been invited to church and all that. I just couldn't be bothered, so to speak. In fact, in my university, the guy that I was in this hostel, and the guy that was my bunkmate, my good friend, the guy was a Christian. Some of my sisters were Christian, so born again and all that. So I was like, forget it. But I remember 1996, around August, I walked into a church and someone preached. I'm not quite sure what that man preached. All I knew was that when I left that church that day, it was as if for the week, God was just speaking to me. I couldn't get away from it till I came back the next day and I went out and I said, yes, I want to really, hand over my life. God was talking to my mind by the Holy Spirit. So what am I saying? The battle for my life was going on in my mind. The Holy Spirit trying to dismantle all the things that Satan had used to clog my mind. Do you understand? So our belief starts, belief for every man starts in their mind. To process it, that this thing that I'm hearing, is it true? Then the Holy Spirit works. But it's in your mind that it starts. You understand what I mean? So what this tells me is this. Do you know that if you look now, and I think I'm going to end in this part. I'll look at the next one later. In the 20th century, one of the leading challenges of society is mental health. When I mean mental health, I'm not talking about it from the African perspective, where if they say someone has mental health, that person is walking around naked on the streets as a mad person. No, I'm not talking about the extreme like that. Mental health is challenges. People are stressed out. People are depressed. Now, I'm not talking about, you've had a hard day and, you're tired. No. Extended depression. People have challenges. You see people going to work, all suited up in the city of London and everywhere. But deep inside, their hearts are troubled. Their minds are all over the place. So you begin to see that there's so many people that for those who it pushes them to the extreme, they start taking, laxatives. I don't know if it's laxative, they call it. All these drugs to help them to cope because their minds are in trouble. I remember before I became a Christian, clearly, I mean, this was a massive challenge I had. I mean, I didn't have any problems, so to speak, in the physical, so to speak. I had a free house, free everything, and all that. But for some reason, I used to think about, constantly I'll be thinking, what am I going to do? Am I going to get money to do this? And day in, day out, my mind would just be, I need to do this. Or, this won't turn out well. My mind was on overcharge. So I only rested when I slept as a young man. Or when I'll just study or occupy. But my mind was in a constant worrying mode. What am I going to do? Is this going to happen? Is it da 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 da? As a young man. And I just couldn't get away from it. Do you understand? Now, why am I saying all this? I'm saying this because those are the kinds of things that Satan uses to block people from seeing the light. He wants to occupy the minds of man the mind of man so much that man doesn't even have time to think about God at all. He wants to blast the heart of the minds of man with worries to the point that it's like, man, you wake up and you're like, oh, I've slept 8 hours and I'm tired. Because your mind is so overwhelmed. I like, oh, I need to sleep again. Bye, dear. It sounds a bit funny, right? The heart, the minds of man, the mind is so bothered that it's so clogged. You can't even hear what God is saying because worry. Even as a Christian, worry. Oh, this is going to happen. Oh, my this. Oh, my that. And you're worried. So that when we're in church sometimes, not you guys anyway, as I'm talking, not you guys, you know, your mind is somewhere else. You're thinking about that paper, that exam, that person is like, what are you going to do? How are you going to... Your mind. So we begin to see that the mind plays such a great importance in the heart and in the life of man. Do you understand? Satan knows this, and he's trying all his best to bog down to bog down man with problems. Problems. But do you know, and I'll divert here before I say the last couple of things. Do you know that, and we'll look at that in the next Sunday, despite your circumstance, right, despite my circumstances, even if the whole world is blowing up around you, even if death is, someone has put a knife to your neck that they're going to kill you if you don't recount that you're a Christian. Do you know, despite all that, your mind can be at peace. My family and I went to Rome after I'd campaigned for several years. We went last year because I think the consensus was, why do we want to go and see all these relics? Although this, you know, I had to do a lot of convincing. But we went there. And you know what really struck me? The Bible began to come alive to me again. Where the Bible tells us this history now in, you know, AD 30. When Christians were being persecuted in Rome, they weren't allowed to meet like this. In fact, they were called cults. The Christians were cultists then, they referred to. They would grab them, pick some of them up, throw them into this big colosseum with lions and just see, oh, let's see how lions eat people. Get the Christians and chuck them. You know, some people, they will boil them alive. Some people, they would skin them. Some people, they would put a stake through them and burn. I mean, really bad stuff. Some people were kicked out of their houses, homeless, because they were like, these people are, you know, homeless. These guys had problems, I tell you. Some of them, their parents were taken to prison, never to be seen again. Some of them, their kids were snatched from them, chucked away, never to be seen again. If all that happened to you, how would you feel? Troubled. But they said for these guys, when they threw them in the Colosseum or when they were killing them, the Christians, because their hearts were so fixed on God, their minds were not troubled. They were singing hymns. They were happy. Because their hearts and their minds were focused on God. They understood. Satan did not have the power over their minds anymore. They had been set free from the tricks of Satan over their hearts and over their minds. So what am I saying? Am I saying that we deny our circumstances and, like, you know, maybe you need to pay your bills or something. That's a typical 20th century one. And the letter comes in through your mailbox. And you say, this letter, my bills are paid. Come on, the bills are not paid nothing. You bill, they're there right in front of you. Do you get what I mean? Or, oh, you're not feeling well. You know, so I'm not saying we ignore that, all those things, because it's reality. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is that God has given us a way to handle these things such that our minds are clear, our minds are peaceful, our minds are not troubled. Jesus had to tell his disciples quite a lot. John chapter 14, we don't have to turn there. It says, "Don't be troubled. Behold, my peace I leave with you, not as the world leaves, gives. There's a peace that I can give." The world tries to give you peace, or tries to give people peace of mind several ways, as best as the world can. But the peace that God gives, that can guard our hearts and our minds, is a supernatural type. It's the type that will withstand every barrage of the enemy against our hearts and our minds. It's the type that will keep you cool, even when everything around you appears to be upside down. Do you understand? Why is the mind so important? We'll look at the last thing here. I think the other ones we'll have to look at next Sunday. So I've said, our minds, we looked at Gideon. Our minds, the mind is the place where your identity and your opinion about yourself is formed. It is where you come to logical, or let me not say logical, it's where you come to conclusions that can be life-changing. We looked at the prodigal son. It is where the belief, where your belief in God and your peace of mind in God, that's where it starts. Now, the last one we want to look at in terms of the mind is why the mind is so important. Your mind is really important because the mind is where God begins to speak to you. You can hear God in your mind. Even for people who are not saved, it's in God's, in their mind that they hear God to start with. That's where the Holy Spirit speaks. Let's look at the book of Daniel chapter 2 verse 29. Daniel chapter 2 verse 29. Daniel was talking to a king and explaining to him how God spoke to him, how God spoke to that king. And he says, Daniel was saying, "As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to the things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen." This wasn't even a Christian. Daniel was explaining to this king that this vision that you had, this, let me explain to you how it came about. It came about because your mind turned to things to come. Then God revealed, because the king was like, "I'm having these dreams. What does this thing mean?" Called all the sorcerers, they couldn't answer. But someone who understood how the mind works told him that, "Oh king, this is what came to your mind. This was what God was speaking to you." Do you know that God speaks to everybody, believer and unbelievers? For unbelievers, when he speaks to unbelievers, is for them to repent by the Holy Spirit that convicts of sin. Now, if I was preaching the gospel to someone, they're processing it in their mind, Satan stops them from turning their mind to things to come. I might be preaching the gospel and I might tell someone, "Do you know that there's eternity when you die?" Revelations chapter 20 says this is what's going to happen for those whose names are not in the book of life. And I'm trying to turn their minds to things to come, and Satan now butts in and says, in their minds, "Forget it. This guy's not telling you. I mean, you're still 18. You have a long time ahead of you. Forget about this Christianity business." God primarily speaks to us, most people, and even us continually in our minds. And if we're going to really hear God speak to us to start with in our minds need to be clear. I'm telling you. Our minds need to be clear and free of a lot of things so that we can hear God. So I'm going to close here. We'll look at the other things later. So I've said, what is the mind? And we've looked at why the mind is so important. So you will agree with me that the mind is something that we should spend time looking at. You know, what goes on in your mind? I'm not talking of from a psychological perspective. What really goes on in your mind? What's really happening? Why do you think the way you think? Why do I think the way I think? Why? What's Why are you having certain thoughts? Why am I having certain thoughts? All right, we'll look at all those.